Listen to these numbers, though. Seriously, if this were a Republican, they'd be stringing them up. Now, listen to this number, because you have to understand what it means. 325,000 children have been lost. They've been allowed to be trafficked all across our borders. She flew in illegal aliens by the hundreds of thousands, and many of these were young children. But we have no idea where think of the number. 325,000 children are missing. Many are dead. Many are involved in sex operations. Many are working as slaves in different parts of probably this country and probably many others. But she was the border czar. Now she says, I wasn't the border czar. But she was. It was headlines, border czar, border czar. But now she doesn't want that term. But whether she was a border czar or not, she was in charge of the border. 325,000 children are missing. She created a fast pass entry program to speed the admission of illegals into all of our ports of entry. And remember when they said, no, now they have a new line. We created a strong border. No. They keep saying it over and over, the worst border in history. But they think if they keep saying it over and over, most people aren't like us. They're not that, they drive a cab. They're carpenters, they're electricians, they're accountants, they're lawyers. They're not like into it other than they like Trump. Meaning they like our policies, because it's not about me. This is not about me. I had a nice life. You can ask my friend. I had the greatest life. I could go to the most beautiful places, look at the most beautiful oceans in the world. Instead, here we are, and I'm happy as hell to be with you because I like it much better. I like this much better. I like it much better. You know why? Because we're doing something. We're saving our country. I wouldn't do it just because I like it. We're saving our country. Our country needs saving. We're a failing nation, in case you have any question. We're a sadly failing nation, and we're going to make America great again. It's very simple. So we're a failing nation. We're going to make America great. And I think we have a chance to make America greater than ever before. And remember this, if we don't do it this time, you're never going to have another crack at it. November 5th is the single most important day in the history of our country. I believe that with all my heart. Because our country's going bad. And Kamala vowed to grant, remember, mass amnesty and citizenship to all of the millions of illegals that she let in, which will obliterate Medicare and obliterate your Social Security for seniors. You will not have any Social Security, and you're not going to have Medicare. The whole country is going bad. And no country, no matter who it was, no matter which country it was, no country could withstand this onslaught. No country could withstand this. And a lot of these people, remember, these are rough people. The only thing good about it is they make our gangs and they make our bad ones look like nice people by comparison. We have bad ones too, but compared to the people that are coming into our country, our criminals are very, very nice. These are really tough ones. They come from prisons. Remember that. Many of them come from prisons, and they let them out of the prisons. Why should they keep them when the stupid United States will take care of their situation? Remember that. On November 5th, we will save our economy. We will rescue our middle class. We will reclaim our sovereignty and restore our borders. We will put America first, and we will take back our country. Together, we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. We will make America free again. And we will make America great again. Thank you very much, Pennsylvania. God bless you.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com/show and share the link today.
Decoding the New World Order agenda hidden in the headlines, it's Sunday Night Live with your host, Chase Geiser.
Welcome back to Sunday Night Live, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to be covering the news for the remainder of the hour. We just saw a powerful moment from Trump's rally in Pennsylvania. It was either yesterday or the day before. Saw Posobiec post a short clip from that rally that was going viral, and so we went and pulled the original speech and extended it in higher definition to that five-minute rant about the 325,000 estimated, and it's far more than that. These are the numbers that we just see. Children who have gone missing, all in the context of videos for years showing babies and toddlers the same age as my own daughters thrown over the border wall, horror stories of human trafficking, reports from our own deep state about the issues of child labor laws being violated, so child slavery happening, not to mention all the human trafficking, but the FBI repeatedly botches child abuse investigations, according to a new report. So while we're importing hundreds of thousands, if not millions of children, and thousands upon thousands of them are being abused by these leftist globalist entities that work on behalf of Satan to manifest the deep state New World Order government, our own FBI is too busy prosecuting, investigating patriots, whether it's Steve Bannon, Owen Schroyer, Alex Jones, or Donald Trump, to actually save children from abuse. A scathing new report from the U.S. Department of Justice's Office of the Inspector General, OIG, has found that the FBI has repeatedly failed to comply with its own policies and federal laws regarding the handling of tips on child sexual abuse. The audit, which follows up on the infamous mishandling of allegations against former USA gymnastics physician Lawrence Nassar, remember Larry Nassar, uncovered significant gaps in the Bureau's response to serious allegations involving suspected child abuse. So they're allowing this massive influx to happen, and they're failing to investigate any instances of child abuse. We've got Biden and Harris resuming taxpayer-funded secret illegal alien flights into the U.S., we're going to run clip 44 in a second. The Harris-Biden regime has resumed its controversial secret program to fly in hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens into the United States, according to reports, after the Department of Homeland Security briefly suspended the clandestine taxpayer-funded program earlier this month. The Biden administration has resumed flying in illegal aliens from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela as part of its immigration policy. While they simultaneously act like they care so much about overdoses, we know that fentanyl comes from China to Central and South America, and then from Central and South America to the United States through the southern border, and results in at least 100,000 overdoses and deaths every single year in this country because of policies like this. And then they had the audacity to come out with a video like this from Karine Jean-Pierre, clip number 44.
This week is Overdose Awareness Week. To all the families and friends who are grieving someone to an overdose, we're grieving with you, and we are taking action. Here's what the Biden-Harris administration is doing about it. We're taking decisive actions to reduce the supply of deadly drugs like fentanyl coming into the country. We're expanding access to life-saving overdose reversal medication and investing historic resources.
Oh, so a nice big pharma plug. And those companies don't make nearly as much money if overdoses actually go down. So now there's a pharmaceutical incentive for overdoses to go up, which is why they pay these politicians to open the border.
Efforts to deal with this global crisis. Look, we've made important progress, but our work is not over. Today and every day, we honor the lives of those we have lost to overdose and recommit ourselves to the important work ahead to save lives from this crisis.
So the CHNV program, which is Cuba, Haiti, Venezuela, and Nicaragua, was launched in January of 2023. It's been used by the Biden-Harris regime to import over 500,000 migrants from four countries, at least 500,000. You got to be careful with all these numbers. Under the CHNV program, the U.S. will accept up to 30,000 people a month from the four countries for 2 years and offer work permits. To qualify for the program, migrants must have a financial sponsor in the U.S., which of course is probably Act Blue, and must fly into an American airport at their own expense rather than crossing at the southern border. Sponsors and the migrants themselves are supposed to be vetted by the Department for Homeland Security. But if the FBI isn't vetting credible allegations of child abuse, do you think that the Department of Homeland Security is actually vetting 30,000 people a month coming into this country with sponsors? And who's sponsoring these people? I've met people throughout my entire life who have adopted children, who have volunteered to have a foreign exchange student live with them. I can think of examples of that, but I've never met a single person. I've lived in Nashville, Tennessee. I lived in Orange County, California. I lived in Austin, Texas, and I've lived in Bloomington, Illinois. And I networked and knew a lot of people in all of those places. Democrats, Republicans, both. Tons of different people, influential people, people of means. I've known thousands of people. I've never once in my life met anyone who sponsored a single migrant to come over here into the United States unless they were specifically hiring them for a job at their company. And you're telling me, and I bet this is true of the listeners too, that they are importing 500,000 people, all sponsored. What's the population of the United States? 350 million people. So if there's 500,000 people and there's 500,000, or if there's 500 million people coming over and there's 500 million, or excuse me, 500, if there's 500,000 people coming over and there's 500,000 sponsors, one would think that implies at least that you would know someone who's engaged in that sponsorship. It's all Act Blue stuff, just like James O'Keefe revealed when he went door knocking to donors from Act Blue who'd been reported to have donated tens of thousands of dollars or thousands upon thousands of dollars to these Democratic candidates. And they said, no, I just gave like $50 one time. I never donated thousands of dollars. They're laundering the money through these organizations. These organizations are then used to hire people to sponsor people. And then they're flying these people in and advocating to convert them to documented citizens so that they have the right to vote, so that the Democrats can become, manifest this one-party state and then sell out the country to globalist interests so we can have a one-party, one-world government. This is clip number 6 of Nancy Pelosi on Bill Maher. And notice, she's talking about how we should just allow these people into our country. We should allow this invasion of our country. We should document them while she's wearing a pin that has the U.S. flag and the Ukrainian flag. So it's inappropriate for Russia to invade Ukraine, and we're going to fight for Ukraine's borders. But then it's okay for us to have 10 to 20 million people invade our own country illegally and sponsor it and betray our own people. This is absolutely unbelievable. Clip number 6.
The California lawmakers just passed a law. It hasn't been signed by Governor Newsom, but giving government assistance to undocumented immigrants to buy houses. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a different place than the Democratic Party used to be on immigration. Is it not? I'm not going to say that's what the country's going to do, but that's certainly where California is.
Well, let me just say, immigration had always been a bipartisan issue. I refer you to
But not free houses.
Well, that's not free housing. It's the American dream being available to more people. But understand this about immigration. The best speech on immigration was by President Ronald Reagan. This is the last speech I will make as President of the United States. I want to communicate a message to the country I love. And he talked about the Statue of Liberty and the beacon of hope it is to the world, and what America was preeminent in the world because our door was always open, and we will cease to be preeminent when we shut the door. Now, I don't do justice to the great communicator. Google it. It's a fabulous speech. And George Herbert Walker Bush continued in that respect for the diversity of America and the rest. California's always in the lead. Maybe others will follow that lead, but that's up to those states. But we are very blessed here with beautiful diversity.
So you'd vote for this law?
Excuse me?
So you'd vote for this law?
Well, I'm not familiar with exactly what it is, but making the American dream of home ownership available to all people is something we have to do for people
before
who are here now.
This is before you're a citizen. This is undocumented. This is for the undocumented.
Well, what I would like to do is move them to documented. The fact that I can move them to documented.
There you go. Just give them amnesty. Just give them citizenship. Let them vote. They'll certainly vote for us if we're the reason that they're here. Do it all on the taxpayer dime and allow things like this to happen. This is clip number 11, this wild video. Texas police find 17 illegals in hidden compartment in Lowe's box truck. This is the type of behavior that the leftists are sponsoring. Watch.
With job?
Oh, subcontractor.
Subcontractor?
Yeah, just like so company subcontractors move ballots all over the country. In 2020, now they're moving people into the country. It's smuggling.
Yeah, so I didn't even look at the tag. They supposed to have
human smuggling, human trafficking. And they've got like this secret compartment in the back of the truck, like it's the Millennium Falcon.
Is yours?
No. This is like a scene from Inglorious Bastards.
Look at their feet.
Are you bothering migrants?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This wood, you could tell, look, this is new.
Like the scene from The Matrix when Morpheus is in the wall. Look at this. For radio listeners, the truck was completely empty. They walked to the back. They could tell there was something not right about the wall close to the cabin. And now they're using tools and crowbars to pry it open. It's obviously body cam footage from a police officer who stopped the truck. Boom. Snapped open. And there are people there. They start speaking Spanish one by one, start exiting. Standing up back there, packed like something you would see from a movie about the Nazis packing people into a train. They're telling them to sit down.
Sorry, you can see? Right there.
Sit right there, sit right there, she says, as these migrants file out.
No, let's, I don't know how many there are. Unless you guys...
Looks like military-aged men. I don't see any kids yet. It's possible there are some, but these look like single military-aged men. It looks like a woman's being pulled out right now. A couple of women as well. Cross your feet, sit down, she says to them. They just keep coming out. It's unbelievable. It's like, what are those Russian eggs called? You know, when it's an egg within an egg? Yeah. Matryoshka. I know I butchered that. How are you? Unbelievable. And images flash by. Just, I don't know, was it 11 people? But if that's not enough to just alarm you, clip number 15, we were left to die. Aurora resident blasts Colorado governor for dismissing Venezuelan gang takeover. Clip number 15, because of this Nancy Pelosi-sponsored amnesty.
Councilwoman Jarensky, who has been amazing. My first conversation with her, she said, do you still live there? And I said, yes. And she said, I'm going to get you out of there.
Wow.
So she said, I'm going to make it my work.
So you're singing her praises. In the meantime, the office of Governor Jared Polis is saying she's making all of this up. Listen to what a spokesman said. According to police intelligence, this purported invasion, I guess, of these apartment buildings is largely a feature of Danielle Jarensky's imagination. What do you say to that?
You can't fake video, and Polis wouldn't last 5 minutes on that property.
Wow. Here's what Danielle said about it. Listen to this.
I absolutely did not make any of this up. I love that that is how our governor has quickly rushed in to say that that's the actual problem here. But the actual problem here are his weak policies that have turned this state into a breeding ground for this gang activity.
Cindy, why do you think the governor's office has got its head stuck firmly in the sand over this issue?
They don't want to admit that they're part of the problem. It's the administration who we count on to make the rules for us, to make the guidelines that we go by. I call 911, no help comes for me. No help. There's no mass amounts of police that show up to make sure that we're defended. Nobody showed up to help me. I didn't have a bulletproof vest. I didn't have five officers showing up with me whenever there was a problem. We were on our own and we were left to die.
Wow.
These people have no registration in this country.
Yeah, and we should point out that the scenes that you're seeing on the right-hand side of the screen there, those were taken from Cindy's Ring doorbell or video doorbell while she was inside her apartment. You can imagine what it was like living there. Cindy, God bless you. We're glad you got out.
Now, we're going to hear the mayor speak in a minute here in clip number 16. A resident of Aurora, Colorado, this woman that we just watched, who escaped from an apartment complex overrun by criminal Venezuelan gangs, slammed Colorado Governor Jared Polis for dismissing reports of the gang takeover. Cindy Romero joined Fox News on Friday and explains it just as you saw. But let's see that. Let's see this other clip here, clip number 16.
Aurora, Colorado. Mayor, thank you very much for coming on with us. It seems tough to even get some confirmation of the details of what is going on there. First off, can you confirm whether or not this gang has taken
all
over
sponsored
these
by Kamala, all sponsored
Aurora?
By Nancy.
So there are several buildings actually under the same ownership, out of state ownership, that have fallen to these Venezuelan gangs. I'm trying to walk it back and do the investigation as to how there's a concentration of Venezuelans in these three buildings. Somebody put them there and somebody funded it, whether it's federal government or not. We're trying to find out who these gangs apparently are attracted to, where there's a concentration of Venezuelan migrants. And so they've in fact have kind of pushed out the property management through intimidation and then collected the rents. We have now or have had it is ongoing operations with a task force of local law enforcement, state law enforcement partners and federal law enforcement partners to root them out, and arrests have been made. But these operations are still ongoing.
With the arrests that have been made, are these confirmed gang affiliated members?
You know, this is an organized criminal effort, whether it's Trende Aragua, that remains to be seen. But it really doesn't matter. I mean, if they're, you know, Venezuelan migrants.
And why is this happening in Colorado and not in Texas, when Texas is so much closer to the border?
So
it's the gun laws, right? They know that people aren't defending themselves in these apartments. So they'll break the law with their firearms and they'll hassle and hustle people like this, like the mafia. They won't ever try that in Texas, will they? Back to it.
Up there. And you even made a suggestion that they could have been sent there by federal officials, I heard you suggest. Well, I mean, do you have any reason to believe that to be the case?
So here's the problem. I think we're a victim of a failed policy at the southern border, because what you have, Venezuela does not according to my law enforcement, Venezuela does not cooperate with the United States in sharing criminal histories. You've had a third of the country leave. You've had these massive waves of migrants coming across the border that many of them crossed the border illegally, were arrested, asked for political asylum, were not adequately vetted, were released into the country. The city of Aurora, we did everything we could to quite frankly, keep them out of the city, because it's not our problem. This is a federal problem. This is a problem borne by the federal government. But what I think what we're trying to find out, and what I believe occurred, was that federal agencies worked with some of our local nonprofits and put them there. Now, most of these people are very good. Good people.
Remember all the NGOs at the southern border? The government weaponizes these non-government organizations, whether they're social media platforms or other nonprofits, and they violate the law through them.
We believe that is happening now. Now, we're the 51st largest city in America with over 400,000 in population. This is only several apartment complexes.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I'm not going to surrender any part of this city to a criminal element.
With all due respect, it's no longer, I mean, just in the hands of the feds when you've got... we've heard reports that this gang has green-lighted its members to attack your local police. What are you doing about that, Mayor?
Well, you know, we're aware of that in the Denver metropolitan area.
So they can try to debunk this and deny it all they want, but the fact of the matter is we've been invaded by millions of people through our southern border, so it was only a matter of time before we began to see something like this happen. These gangs operating in these cities that have leftist laws and policies where everybody wants to be politically correct and they're too sensitive about the emotions and desires and wants of a leftist radical constituent base to actually understand or even care that this is incredibly dangerous. And states like Texas joined the United States of America. Remember, this was a republic on its own before it was part of this country. with the assurance that the federal government would protect Texas from a threat at the southern border. Now our federal government's actually sponsoring this threat itself, and our politicians have the audacity to say we should give these people amnesty and run ads like this one, clip number 27, against Trump when we're being invaded and it's paid for with our dollars stolen by the left. 27.
We've got Trump on the run.
Yeah,
scared.
Right.
His insults about service members catching up.
Not
with him.
True.
He's panicked.
No, he's not.
Losers and suckers, he called us.
Nope.
Confirmed. Refusing to be seen with wounded warriors.
Not true.
Because it makes him queasy.
Seen so many pictures of him with paraplegics.
Refusing to salute the fallen of World
People
War
with lost limbs.
Because he, quote, doesn't understand what was in it for them.
What?
Because he was afraid his dye job might run in the rain faster than he ran to a quack doctor when the draft board called his number.
Oh, please. Tim Walz is the one that lied about
with the likes of
going to war.
Epstein,
and he knew war was coming and he quit.
Of those who went in his place to Vietnam.
Please.
Now, maybe the greatest
ever been
insult
in
of all. Turning a military cemetery visit into a political stunt with cameras.
Please, another lie about Arlington. We've covered that.
Section 60. One of the most hallowed acres of all. And when an Army civilian official told them they were breaking federal law that bans politics and campaign cameras, Trump thugs verbally and physically assaulted her. Disgusting. Donald Trump, the Gravemarkers veterans and military families drop a knee to are not your political props. They represent the heroes we
You're using them as a political prop in an ad right now.
Never measure up to. Friends who lived and died by the oath we all swore to uphold, something you will never understand, and why we're doing our damnedest to make sure no service member ever has to salute you as commander-in-chief ever again.
Meanwhile, Mexico begins busing migrants from south of country to U.S. border. The Mexican government will begin shuttling migrants through their country to the U.S. border as part of a new scheme tied to an expansion of the CBP One Asylum Program. Of course, on Saturday, Mexico's National Institute of Migration announced a safe mobility corridor via which asylum seekers will be funneled north aboard buses departing locations near the Guatemalan border. Let's watch clip number 51.
It's important to remember that borders aren't just lines on a map. Those invisible lines are the equivalent of having walls and doors in your home. Without them, anyone could just walk right in, eat your food, rearrange your furniture, even walk off with your stuff. Imagine the chaos. Your privacy is invaded, your belongings are up for grabs, and your entire sense of security is out the window. Borders define where our home ends and the next begins. Ensuring that we can maintain order, manage our resources, and protect our culture. They tell others that here we do things our way. Without borders, we'd be in a world of chaos where nobody's safe to simply live in peace. They're the rules of the game, the boundaries that allow us to coexist without turning the whole world into a free-for-all where might makes right and the only rule is finders keepers. Now ask yourself, why exactly would anyone want to open the borders that protect our very way of life? Who exactly would want millions and millions of strangers who don't speak our language or share our values wandering our homeland? The answer is those who seek to destroy our way of life. For the love of God, don't give them that power. Vote for President Trump and ensure that our beloved America, land of the free and home of the brave, survives.
All right, folks, we'll be back with more on the other side of this break. We're going to cover the updates with Elon Musk and Brazil and other threats to our Constitution. Stay with us for the last 30 minutes of Sunday Night Live.
COVID vax causes more heart damage than COVID virus and brain, blood, immune cancer, reproductive study. I mean, there's so many of these studies. What do you make of that?
This finally settled the question, Alex. The COVID vaccine causes myocarditis in young people, not the infection. It's a government false narrative. It's been propagated through the American College of Cardiology and other agencies that the infection causes myocarditis. It doesn't.
Looking at this, then, we see these headlines constantly. When you follow the article, there's no link, there's no proof. It just says COVID's a greater risk of heart problems than the shot, and then they just lie.
It's essentially a giant medical lie perpetrated by the American College of Cardiology, the CDC, the NIH, This is a false narrative. No confirmed cases by adjudication or autopsy. Right. No hospitalizations and deaths. But the vaccine, I'm a cardiologist, Alex. I am knee deep in people with vaccine myocarditis causing heart failure. The vaccines do cause heart arrhythmias in some. It's inflammation in the heart, atrial fibrillation, sometimes ventricular arrhythmias.
COVID shots can enlarge and weaken the heart. Another study.
Heart failure can be an outcome of subclinical myocarditis. It's very important for people to realize they may not feel chest pain initially, but then they have the onset of effort intolerance, a pulmonary edema, congestion, and leg swelling. I have cases from Austin, Alex, referred up to my office. It's vaccine myocarditis and heart failure. They need treatment for this. The go-to is McCullough Protocol based spike protein detoxification with supplements available through onlinehealthnow.com.
Onlinehealthnow.com.
We have ample data now suggesting every cancer is increasing worldwide in virtually every organ system, and it's related to COVID-19 vaccines.
Now, I'm glad, Dr. McCullough, that you brought up how to detox, either whether you got COVID in the wild, which you know is a lot less from the studies, bad as taking the shots, but if you want to detox from it, you're one of the top research doctors out there, one of the, if not the most published. You have actually developed something, come up with something available at onlinehealthnow.com that you're saying is the go-to here. Spend a few minutes telling us about that anti-spike protein protocol.
It's the base of what we do now in long COVID and vaccine injury syndromes. It's caused because of accumulation of the spike protein from the infection, and in a massive doses from the vaccine, it gets stuck in the human body. We need to assist the body in clearing the spike protein. We have several years of observation, multiple peer-reviewed publications on this, very good support for doing this. It's nattokinase, which is a natural enzyme derived from the fermentation of soy. Japanese discovered it. Bromelain, a family of enzymes derived from the stems of pineapple, and then lastly, curcumin derived from turmeric and Indian spice. These are all in capsule format. We give them in combination in between meals, and we're using accelerating doses. People are doing this across the world right now, Alex.
So you build up.
And we build up. Now listen, the initial starting doses were 2,000 units twice a day of natto. We're now going to 4,000 twice a day. We do give them in addition to blood thinners, and we have found sometimes it's the only way to dissolve the blood clots. When people get large vaccine blood clots, the blood thinners just hold it steady. They don't dissolve them. We actually have to give thrombolytic enzymes. That's McCullough Protocol-based spike protein detoxification.
And people can find out all the details of that at onlinehealthnow.com.
That's the go-to place. The wellness company provides, really the leading quality in the leading formulation. So the spike formulation has not only nattokinase, but five minor ingredients. We combine that with the curcumin and the bromelain for what we think is the ultimate spike detox trio. Onlinehealthnow.com.
Welcome back to Sunday Night Live. As freedom of speech is under attack, our republic itself is under attack, and we see breaking news from today that Arlington police are responding now to a smash-and-grab robbery at Ritzy's shopping mall across the street from the Pentagon. Three men robbed a store at the Fashion Center in Arlington, Virginia, and began running toward the Pentagon in an attempt to escape the police. One witness said, "I was at the Pentagon City Mall today. Two men in front of us dropped their backpacks, pulled out mallets. They started smashing windows. Sounded like gunshots. Everybody panicked." And so while the leftists criticized Trump all week for something he did at Arlington, which wasn't even wrong, he just went there and somebody filmed it, like they've done for politicians for decades there. We have this crime wave as a result of illegal migration and in a poor economy happening that's actually resulting in smash and grab robberies and the desecration of Arlington itself, just as a city in America next to this sacred cemetery. Unbelievable. And I want to get into this news about Elon Musk because it's so important what's happening between Brazil and Musk. Obviously, Brazil is acting as a CIA cutout. The CIA is using Brazil as a way to weaponize the nation and its own judicial system, its own dictatorial power against Musk because freedom of speech is a threat to their power. So it's this circular laundering where you can't really trace it directly back. But if you know what you're doing and you look at these programs that have happened there over the years, it's obvious that our own deep state is weaponizing these other nations against Musk. Same thing we saw in France, of course, this week with Telegram, with Pavel Durov being arrested for no reason. They claimed it was associated with allowing child pornography on Telegram, which he didn't do. And every other platform has the same problem where it's hard to monitor and take that stuff down quickly. They try their best. But why is it that they're not arresting Mark Zuckerberg or the leaders in Meta or the other leaders in Instagram or the leaders of Snapchat or the leaders of YouTube or the leaders of any of these other social media platforms? But then they're coming after Telegram and they're coming after X, but only them. Well, it's very obvious. It's because these other platforms follow the rules and bend the knee to the deep state. They do things like take down vaccine-related videos during pandemics. They do things like take down videos that tell the truth about what happened in 2020 or question at least what happened in 2020. They do things like ban and block and take down Alex Jones. But Telegram doesn't do that and X doesn't do that. So now we have Pavel Durov arrested in France, and we have Robert Reich saying that we should arrest Elon Musk in an opinion piece. And I've seen Robert Reich's content before. I like to call him Robert Reich III, otherwise known as the Third Reich. Former U.S. Secretary of Labor has suggested world governments should consider arresting Elon Musk because of the way he runs Twitter X and his support for Donald Trump. Quote, Elon Musk is rapidly transforming his enormous wealth, he's the richest person in the world, into a huge source of unaccountable political power that's now backing Trump and other authoritarians around the world, Reich wrote in an opinion piece for The Guardian on Friday. Claims that Musk has become an open threat to democracy since acquiring Twitter and X and announcing his endorsement of Donald Trump for president. According to a new report from the Center for Countering Digital Hate, Musk himself has posted 50 false election claims on X so far this year. They've got a total of 1.2 billion views. One of them had a community note from X's supposed fact-checking system, Reich explained. So we have to be authoritarian in order to take down these so-called authoritarians. It sounds awfully authoritarian in and of itself. This is clip number 21 of Musk saying that free speech is actually the bedrock of civilization, not censorship.
Free speech is the bedrock of democracy. And free speech is what allows atrocities to be called out and for people to be aware of them. That's why the Germans wanted to shut down the press immediately. So, anyway, I think we should do everything we can to preserve free speech. And when we lose free speech, I think we lose democracy.
And those who seek to censor him seek to overthrow the Constitution itself. Now we have graduated and crossed the threshold from a place in our country's history or our country's political history where Democrats and Republicans both swore to protect the Constitution, advocated the rights protected in the Constitution, policies and everything. They both loved it outwardly. They just pretended to disagree about what certain details of the Constitution actually meant, right? There was a time when Democrats and Republicans both said freedom of speech was great. Even both said that the Second Amendment was great. There was a time, you go back to clips of Bill Clinton where he's talking about how important it is that we secure the border. Used to be a lot more on the same page back then. But now the leftists are graduating from pretending to support the Constitution to explicitly saying that it's outdated, it needs to be thrown out, it's just in the way of democracy. Of course, they say it's a threat to democracy, like this dean here in clip number one. They say it's a threat to democracy when it was written to be a threat to democracy. The word democracy isn't mentioned once in the Constitution, only the word republic. We are meant to be a republic. Several of our founding fathers wrote outwardly about the weaknesses and vulnerabilities and problems with mob rule and democracy. Even going back to Plato's Republic, you have Socrates and Plato talking about the problem with democracy being the rule of the mob. But we've got this Berkeley Law School dean. This is a law school dean telling MSNBC it's time to ditch the U.S. Constitution. And I'm not going to show you this whole clip because he is boring, but just even his mannerisms and his effeminate nature, they're all just totally aligned with the ideals, principles of the leftist cult machine that we are faced with. Clip number one.
The most consequential elections in American history. The political divide is wide, with both sides of the aisle believing a win for their opponent could doom the country. But the dean of Berkeley Law School argues it's not just politics, but America's founding document, the Constitution, that needs a bit of an overhaul. Joining us now is Dean Erwin Chemerinsky. His new book is titled No Democracy Lasts Forever, How the Constitution Threatens the United States. Dean Chemerinsky, thanks for being with us this morning. So how, in your view, does the Constitution that this country was built on and has been for nearly 250 years is a threat, actually, to the country?
Choices that were made in adapting the Constitution have come to haunt us. The Electoral College increasingly is choosing...
Notice how this is all pre-scripted. He's obviously reading his statements.
Two senators per state is undermining democracy. In the last session of Congress, there were 50 Democratic senators and 50 Republican senators. But the 50 Democratic
senators... Don't you have to swear to protect the Constitution in order to be barred as a lawyer? But he's the dean of a law school? Imagine he's a lawyer if he's the dean of a law school. Didn't he swear to protect and uphold the laws of this nation and this Constitution?
It was an average of 15 years. Since 1970, it's been 27 years. All of these are choices made in 1787, but they become much more salient in recent years.
Professor Chemerinsky, I understand, this is Gene Robinson, I understand that there are lots of outdated pieces of the Constitution. There's also some really good stuff. I think it is probably true that the founders would be astonished that we haven't altered the Constitution to fit our present circumstances. On the other hand, though, in the real world, wouldn't it be madness to try to change the Constitution at this point when the country is so polarized, so angry, and so unable to agree on anything? All those foundational principles, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom, you know, our freedoms, would be in jeopardy, it seems to me.
You're right. The country is deeply polarized, and that in itself is a threat
to
democracy.
Right. We're so
our government has lost the
polarized confidence
of the people.
It's so
in 1964,
deep.
In a Pew Research survey, 77% of the people expressed confidence in government. Last October, it was 20%. In the book, I argue that much that's wrong with the government can be fixed by statute. It also can be fixed by constitutional amendment. And I say, rather than a series of constitutional amendments, isn't it time to start thinking of a new constitution? Isn't it absurd that we're governed in 2024 by a constitution written in 1787 for small, agrarian, slave-owning
society?
You're
saying this to a nation of Christians that follow a book written 2,000 years ago. Just because something is old doesn't mean it's not true.
The country is divided now, which makes a new constitution difficult. But the constitution was adopted in 1787 when the country was deeply divided. In many states, it was passed by only a few votes. I'm not saying there'll be a constitutional convention tomorrow or next year, but I do think it's time to begin thinking of a constitution for the 21st century rather than being governed under one from the 18th century.
Dean Chim, this is Eddie
Long. If enough people agreed with you, you could amend it.
So you're right.
It requires a ratification of two-thirds of the states of the Union.
Document. The compromises that in some ways constitute the through line of our history. I mean, you chart it really, really powerfully in the book. But there's this moment that I came across, and I just started, it struck me, and this is about the threat of secession, that if we choose not to do anything, if we fail at the amendment process, if we fail at kind of thinking about this document in this holistic sense, as you commend, there is the real threat of secession. Talk a little bit about that consequence as you see it.
What happens if we do nothing? We can continue to muddle along, but I worry about how long a government could survive which lost the confidence of people. or how long a government survived when society is so deeply polarized.
So the reason they want to change the Constitution is because they want to expand the Supreme Court. They want to eradicate the Second Amendment. They want to eradicate our freedom of speech. And they do this always in the name of the people or democracy. It's happened whether you're fascist or whether you're communist throughout history. They violate individual rights inalienable to us, given to us by God at birth. They violate those rights in the name of democracy and the people every single time. And the only reason they hate the Constitution is not because they think that it is an unjust document for the people of America. The reason they hate the Constitution is because it is the only set of rules that they themselves have to follow. Keep in mind, nothing in the Constitution determines or decides or says what the people of the United States of America can or cannot do. It only says what the government itself can or cannot do. And that's why they're always trying to change the rules. They're always trying to amend the Constitution to expand what our government is capable of doing. So give me a break, Mr. Dean, when you're coming out saying that we're living in this document that was written in the 18th century, but we need a 21st century Constitution, when, first of all, this document has been amended, what is it, 30 times or the 30 amendments? It's been amended this whole time. It's a fairly updated document. When was the, I love the crew to look this up if you can. Tell me when the last time an amendment was passed to the Constitution. I want to know what the most recent one was. But every century it's had amendments. Changes have been made to this Constitution. They had to amend it to enact the income tax. I guess that's their 20th century policy, of course, into the 21st century. But every time they advocate changing the Constitution, it's because they want to expand their own power. And they always lie and say that it's about helping the people, but really it's about censorship. And Musk even came out and said, censorship is a certainty if Democrats win. Musk speaks out as Twitter is banned in Brazil. Elon Musk warned Americans that censorship is a certainty if Democrats win, as the billionaire Twitter owner deals with the fallout of the judicial decision to ban Twitter and X on Brazil. Musk was responding to a popular Twitter user, Doge Designer, who said, I wouldn't be surprised to see X suspended in the U.S. if the Democrats come into power again. On Friday, Brazilian Supreme Court, of course, Justice Alexandre de Moraes suspended Twitter in the country and set a hefty daily fine of nearly $9,000 for anybody who uses a VPN to bypass this ban. This is clip number 37 and 39 that I want to run back to back of Kamala Harris supporting Elon Musk's claim here, saying that this is basically implying, just by the nature of her comments, that this is absolutely a true prediction from Elon Musk. 37 and 39.
You look at what he's been tweeting today, directed at the whistleblower, directed at so many people. I frankly think that based on this and all we've seen him do before, including attacking members of Congress, that he frankly should be, his Twitter account should be suspended. He is irresponsible with his words in a way that could result in harm to other people. And so the privilege of using those words in that way should probably be taken from him.
He has lost his privileges and it should be taken down. And the bottom line is that you can't say that you have one rule for Facebook and you have a different rule for Twitter. The same rule has to apply, which is that there has to be a responsibility that is placed on these social media sites to understand their power. They are directly speaking to millions and millions of people without any level of oversight or regulation.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy.
I know you wrote to Twitter and the CEO, Jack Dorsey, and asked him to take away the president's Twitter handle, his account. How is that not a violation of free speech? I mean, the president has the same rights that you have, that I have, and how would that not just be a slippery slope?
I've heard that argument, but here's the thing, Jake. First of all, a corporation, which is what Twitter is, does not have has obligations, and in this case, Twitter has terms of use policy. And their terms of use dictate who receives the privilege of speaking on that platform and who does not. And Donald Trump has clearly violated the terms of use, and there should be a consequence for that. Not to mention the fact that he has used his platform, being the President of the United States, in a way that has been about inciting fear and potentially inciting harm against a witness to what might be a crime against our country and our democracy. And for that reason, I do believe that it's clear that he has violated the terms of use, and I'm asking that Twitter does what it has done in previous occasions, which is to revoke someone's privilege.
And we know that our federal government, the Biden administration, has been revealed in a scandalous way to have pressured these institutions like Google or Facebook or Twitter before it was X to censor individuals and certain talking points or ideas or messages. So they'll censor any posts that make any claims that they disagree with, and they'll even go in and take people completely off their platforms on behalf of the CIA or the FBI or the deep state or the White House when asked if they feel that the pressure is adequate, even if they're uncomfortable. Even Mark Zuckerberg has said that it makes him uncomfortable, but he does it anyway because he understands that these legislatures can put so many crippling regulations and divide up their companies through antitrust laws and legislation that they have to obey. So when the federal government cannot violate your rights, regardless of which of those rights there are in the 27 amendments, when they cannot violate your rights, they outsource that violation to NGOs and businesses. So the government can't come in and say that it's illegal for you to say that the 2020 election was stolen, but they can certainly pressure all of the places that you would say that to censor that privately. They outsource the violation of our rights time and time again. And it's here, right here in this article. Google restricts election-related content from its AI products. You think they're doing this because Google just adamantly believes in this? Yes, they probably do because most of their employees are leftists, but they're doing this because they've been prodded to do this by the CIA. In their regular meetings with the CIA, we're concerned about the development of your artificial intelligence. They don't want to get regulated away from being able to develop this amazing competitive technology. So they comply to avoid the regulations. Then they simultaneously lobby for different regulations that don't impact them, but would impact any other competitors from coming up out of the ground. And in exchange for this, they perform political favors for the deep state, like this type of censorship. I mean, keep in mind, the reason that Alex Jones was deplatformed and censored from all these major platforms those years ago is not because of anything that he got wrong. It's because of all of the things that he got right and gets right. They just used what they used as an excuse to bring him down. But it's because he was having an impact and telling the truth. And tell me, if someone does get a story wrong about a shooting or a political event, and they somehow become liable for $1.5 billion, does that mean that we can sue Rosie O'Donnell now? This is clip number 33. Can we sue Rosie O'Donnell for $1.5 billion for the claims that she's making in clip number 33?
Now, I don't know what happened that day, but I don't think it was a bullet that hit him. I don't. I think it was maybe a fragment of something but I don't know. Without a scar to be seen, yet blood all over it. Look at the photos of him right after with his fist pumping, a normal reaction, right? To almost being assassinated. There's something really hinky about the whole thing. And I don't know what it is, but I am saying this. For people who go on conspiracy
theories. Basically, she's saying, and I quote, "My gut tells me it didn't happen." That's what she just said about the assassination attempt of the President of the United States.
Yeah.
His entire family should sue her for $1.5 billion.
His ears, his nose, or whatever. You don't regrow. We're humans. You don't regrow your arms or your ears.
Absolutely unbelievable. French party leader warns Telegram CEO's life may be in danger. Oh, you think? Obviously. Brazilian judge orders $9,000 fine for using VPN to access X. So now they're not only punishing Elon Musk, but they're going to fine their own people $9,000 for accessing the platform. While Musk vows to expose top Brazilian judge's crimes after suspension of X, it's amazing to watch some of his posts recently on the corruption here. But when we see this type of censorship happen, all of the good people leave and are impacted disproportionately, and all that's left is this corrupt swamp. I want to show you clip number 47. This is my friend, Father Calvin Robinson. He's a man from the UK. He's a brilliant theologian, not somebody I always agree with, but brilliant and earnest nonetheless. I met him years ago on my podcast. He agreed to become a guest. But listen to this update from Father Calvin Robinson about what he's doing in response to the lack of freedom of speech and, frankly, the persecution going on in the United Kingdom right now. Run it, please.
the closing of the show, I mentioned at the end of the last show, at the end of the podcast, that I am looking to leave the United Kingdom. This, I haven't put any script together or I hadn't planned on talking about this today, but Zuby brought it up and I think it's probably providential that he did. I have been called to a parish elsewhere. I'll announce where when it's appropriate. It's not appropriate yet to announce where, but I've been called to a parish elsewhere. This has been in the progress for a number of months now. You may have picked up on hints on Fox and Father because Lawrence has obviously known about it. He's, you know, hinted in his cheeky way. But I think that's been accelerated actually by the current state of affairs in the United Kingdom, in that it doesn't feel like people are ready to fight yet. There aren't enough people awake yet. It feels like in other parts of the world, there are people that still believe in freedom and still believe in Christ and are willing to fight for what's right. And I'm hoping that in joining them and becoming a soldier among many, that we can regroup and we can build an army. I'm speaking metaphorically, but we need to be stronger as Christians, as Brits, as Englishmen. We're not there yet. And so I will make a stand in the next general election, but in the meantime, I'm going to work as a full-time parish priest in a parish elsewhere. London is no longer safe. I have moved out of London, and I'm a nomad at the moment.
America will no longer be safe if we follow in the steps of the United Kingdom.
Go and serve and minister to good people, good faithful people, and hopefully come back with stronger and with more encouragement. And not on my own. At the moment,
you hear from Father Calvin Robinson, brilliant man. Unfortunately, has to leave London and the United Kingdom altogether, as I understand it, because of the lack of freedom there. And again, if you don't believe that Democrats are actually the authoritarians, if you don't believe that they are the ones who actually want to change the Constitution, not for your benefit, but so that they are less restricted, if you don't believe that they weaponize private businesses and NGOs to violate your rights so they can launder that violation through private organizations and avoid accountability, then just look at some of these headlines. Loomer, State National Guard being prepared for Trump prison sentence. Man tasered at rally. Secret Service allowed juvenile to enter Mar-a-Lago, no agents disciplined. Another failure. Schiff, Trump giving a green light to further violence if he loses the election. So Schiff is calling for political violence, but blaming it on Trump. RFK Jr. has to sue North Carolina in order to be removed from the ballot. So they try to force Trump off the ballot. They successfully forced RFK Jr. off of the Democratic ballot. And now they're refusing him to take, they're refusing his name to be removed from the ballot upon his request, which is unprecedented because they know that it disproportionately benefits Trump. And this is somehow a democracy. So we're not going to let you on the ballot when you want to be on the ballot, but when you don't want to be on the ballot, we're going to make sure that you are on the ballot. California bill banning voter ID passes legislature, awaiting Newsom's signature. Of course, he'll sign it. And they allow for the selling out of our entire country to China as they claim that our own dairy herds are testing positive for bird flu so they can hype up another fake pandemic and use that as an excuse to regulate all of our freedoms away and take over all political power, conglomerate it nationally first, and then sell that national conglomeration out to an international conglomeration and create a one world government, folks. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com, get bodies, get vitamin C and zinc with rose hips for bioavailability, and fight for your health while fighting for humanity itself. Go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and be the reason we are still on the air.
But water filtration, firearms, food, that's all great. But if you don't have communications, I would say communications is just as important as water filtration or self-defense. And you know, your wife works across town or maybe another city, your husband does. In the world we're going into, you got to get these things. They're easy to use, but you got to start using them so you're proficient. Or, you know, your kids are in college or, you know, you've got a teenager in school. Imagine, you know, terrorist hit, they're blowing things up, the grid goes down. You could just be 20 miles away, and it could take you a week. You might have to walk home, folks. And you've got to have rally points. You've got to get ready. And I'm preaching to myself right now because I'm now getting with my family doing this.
And if all your systems were to go down, you should still have a place that's going to be a check-in or check-in board and a meeting location that your family knows exactly how and where they're going to go.
Oh, exactly. I'm admitting I've not done... I've done 1% of what I should, and that's most, and that's more than most of the public. Now is the time with 74 days out. And here's the bottom line. everything is in stock right now, and that's not usually the case. They have really massively bought to have this, and as soon as the general public starts figuring out about this, and there's already giant demand with governments and private corporations, this stuff is going to go quick. You want to go to InfoWarsPhone.com, you want to check these products out, and you want to get ready. And like you said, the phone's worthless if you don't have the solar panel system, and it's all very affordable, the best deals you're going to get at InfoWarsPhone.com.
Listen, Ukraine, when Ukraine popped off, the phones were backed up for almost 9 months. Why? Because Ukraine, the military, all those guys came in and just picked them all off the shelf. So there was almost a 9-month delay or back order on it. I'm not here to sell it. It's just that when those things go off, what happens? Can't get ammo. Ammo goes through the roof, right? You remember those shortages? Toilet paper, right? But as soon as this thing pops off and your communication's down, you're not going to get a sat phone. At that time, it's game over. It's game over for a secure phone if you're trying to keep people from tracking you.